This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And who do we have with us?
We have Brian Hirsch from the National Weather Service. He didn't bring his weather Ouija board, though. Did you notice that?
I don't
that?
Think he uses one.
Well, they now
I think they've progressed to a dark board.
Well, yeah, but they have an app now on the for the iPad.
A Ouija board.
Yeah, weather Ouija board.
Okay, I'm sure that's out there. Good day, sir.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
So, it seems now that weather information is becoming more available, it's becoming more sophisticated. Are we paying enough attention to it?
Well, if you talk to a weather person, the answer is absolutely no. You have to spend more time looking at weather. And it is my own bias because I grew up on a farm. And the reason for me being a meteorologist is that I was sure that the way Dad was doing it was all wrong. And it was related to weather.
Okay.
So, and I must say that there are many times where, we disagreed. I said, Dad, I'm sure it's going to rain. Don't cut that hay. I would drive back to see Dad, willing to help out on the farm the weekend, and the hay would all be down.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd have 3 inches of rain from a big MCS that plowed through the night before.
Oh.
So.
That hurts.
But he always said, if I waited for you to give me a clear day, I'd never cut hay.
Yeah, well, so, there you go.
And much
however,
the same,
with flying, you want to wait for that clear day.
That's right. And much the same for aviation. I know that many times one of the question marks that we put in there is there's a 30% chance of rain. And what do you do with a 30% chance of rain? Is that a 70% chance of go?
Yeah.
So yesterday was a great example where we knew that we were talking about something that was a 20% chance. Very isolated, very scattered in nature around the area. And what we had was a clear radar and then storms near Appleton and storms near here.
It looks a little pop-ups. They'll bite you if you're not careful.
We were working an air show earlier this year where we had this pop-up cell that was about the size of a pencil eraser, and it just dead-centered the airport. We got hit with a microburst, and it did all sorts of damage. So you never know.
No, and I tell folks, so one of the things that the National Weather Service does is, you know, we provide underlying data, which is key. So we are maintaining the ASOS equipment. We are QCing that data. We are disseminating that data so that it's available everywhere. And one of the places that it's available is aviationweather.gov. Certainly you can find it there, and many of us have been to the TAF or the METAR finder that's there. That's always handy to use. But then beyond that, we provide model data, and then we provide forecasts out of the Kansas City hub, which is the Aviation Weather Center. And then beyond that, we have 122 offices that are nearby. So to downscale all that so that we have an actual individual person looking at that one pop-up thunderstorm, and whether it will be right here overhead or whether it'll be 10 miles down the road. It's all very difficult to do. It's easy to say there's a chance, but then isolating where that will be is the hard call of the day.
And that's the one thing that amazes me. The weather is always so dynamic. How do you accommodate the various moods and phases of the weather? How do you predict it?
I wish we could just say, oh, there's a computer program or app that does that. But the truth is that we have, you know, a computer program that runs that gives us, you know, a 7-day forecast and then really a 3-day forecast for the things that we're looking for, which is really honed in on winds and temperature and where those thunderstorms will be. But when it comes down to it, the very day, we have people. And that's what makes the difference. So if there's a TAF, that TAF has had a real person look at that data and tell you whether or not they believe there'll be thunderstorms this afternoon and between the hours of.
They're using NI, natural intelligence.
I was going to say, they're opening the window of the office.
Well, that works too.
I'd like to use that, NI, natural intelligence, or just people. People
right.
is a great thing.
Right.
So it's very tough. So I wish that we could say that we have, you know, great computer intel, which will tell you. You know, you can get any number of apps on your phone that will show you exactly where the thunderstorms will be 6 hours from now. And they're all going to be the same, the same right, which is sometimes right. Yeah. Because the computers aren't perfect.
Well, it's like when they talk about the computer models for hurricanes and stuff. And one has it over here, one has it over there. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. But we do have people with eyes on that, and that's their sole job, their app position to be, you know, trying to update that TAF for everyone. And that's important.
Now, you guys have been busy this year with some crazy weather.
Yeah, every year's crazy. If you're if you're in an ag community, one of the things is that people will be saying, no more rain, no more rain. And then you'll see a farmer and he'll say, oh, I just wish I had a little more rain.
Yep.
So there's never perfect weather. So there's just weather that you want.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
So in a drought, you may want to have clear VFR, but there are people praying on the other side of you wanting to get some rain.
Yep.
It is a very delicate balance. And we're seeing a lot of things. The storms seem to be getting more severe. I don't know if this is because they actually are more severe or we're just covering the weather information more and more of it's out there.
Absolutely. Well, so you used to find out what the weather was yesterday in the newspaper. And now you know hour by hour if there was a tornado.
Minute by minute,
in Wichita, everybody's phone lights up. So I think we do know more about what's going on, and every year is unique in its own way. This year, unique with the northerly flow and bringing us the smoke and haze from Canada. Florida, one side of the state is underwater and continually with rain, and there are still parts of Florida that are dry on the west coast. So it's a crazy year, but it's a crazy year that we've seen before, unfortunately.
Really?
Yeah.
Because to me, it seems that they're getting more and more intense.
No, I think if you speak to folks who are old enough, you'll find that they've seen this before. You and I may not have seen it before.
Right. We're speaking with Brian Hirsch of the National Weather Service, and they're working on fixing the weather, in case you guys are wondering. Any luck?
no luck, but it doesn't mean that you didn't put a lot of effort into it.
Right.
If you're a baseball fan, there have been bad years for the Brewers, maybe good years for the Brewers this year, but if you're a baseball fan, you know that you just still put in the effort. It doesn't always end up on the scoreboard.
Okay, so when I call for a flight briefing, how many people are behind that weather information? I mean, are we talking hundreds, 10,
so,
3?
So this is exactly what I was thinking of as I was walking over here to speak with you today, is how many people, how can I quantify that? You know, you have people in D.C. that are running the computer models for you, and you have, 120 different electronics persons out in the field who are driving out to ASOSes or AWOSes, where the equipment is that creates the weather that you see. And then at every weather office in Kansas City, the Aviation Weather Center must have 50 people working there, and they're producing the SIGMETs and AIRMETs that you utilize every day. And then at your local office, well, I'll say here in Green Bay and just down the road in Milwaukee, you've got 3 people working there and there. So you've got 6 people just watching the terminals around our area. So
that's a lot of people. Just for me and my little Cessna 150.
Now, this information, aviationweather.gov, that's not just for pilots. Anybody can get on and take a look at this, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, it's a great resource for looking at weather observations, just to find out what the temperature is or what the forecast is for the next couple of days. It's a great resource. Of course, I go there, but I go there because I'm interested in not only aviation, but in the observations as well, because I'm a weather person.
You're a weather geek, yeah. I understand that.
I know I'm not normal.
That's good.
But I know that I have a lot of aviation friends who are not normal, too.
Right. When you see lightning, you run outside. I used to do that.
And when you see a tornado, you're there videoing
you run,
it
you run
with your
even
phone.
Further outside, yeah.
So. But you know, that's you bring up an interesting point there, because when the weather does go bad, there are more and more people out there that are getting little snippets of this thing with their cell phones and stuff. That undoubtedly is more information to be processed later on, helps those computer models. Maybe there will come a time when we can really 100%, 95% predict the weather with that kind of accuracy.
Well, we know we're getting better. We can see it. But we're getting better in the longer term. The near term is still owned largely by forecasters, and our forecasters are the heart of what we're doing in that, you know, first 24-hour period that supports aviation.
Okay. They're the ones throwing the dice and saying, yeah, it looks like 37% chance of
a... Of course, we prefer to call it art.
Yeah.
They're reading tea leaves, right, using the dartboard, the wheel of weather.
But it is wonderful to have some experienced folks and that personal experience and folks who know the area, who have been watching.
Right, local geography being what it is.
It is of a great help. And I will say, you know, just like everywhere, you know, we're having generational changes. So we're handing this over to younger people. And hopefully we're handing over some of that art, but also that skill.
And that experience.
That is getting transferred to those younger forecasters.
The intuition of a weather forecaster, that's difficult to transfer, but I'm sure.
Well, I'm sure the situation has occurred where the young guys run around going, oh, my God, this is, and you're like, just calm down. Wait 30 minutes. It's going to change.
No, that is exactly how it works. Yeah. It's exactly how it works.
I figured as much.
Yeah. Well, we're not in Kansas anymore here, Toto, that's for sure.
So that was aviationweather.gov. This is a good place to go?
That is. And I do want to say that as important to as that is, just know that September 12th or thereabout, we're going to change over to a new site. And so we recommend folks to look for beta.aviationweather.gov. And that beta is all set up, live data, but it's different. And so you might want to get familiar with beta.aviationweather.gov. And if you see that, then you won't be surprised in September when we change over to the new system.
All right. Very good. I want to thank you for joining us, Brian Hirsch of the National Weather Service. This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.